You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine Radio, and coming to us from almost halfway around the world is the author of one of my personal favorite books, the Book of Stones, Robert Simmons. But he's got another brand new, fabulous book, The Alchemy of Stones. He loves and connects with stones, if you can believe it, probably even more than I do. Robert, welcome. I'm so happy you're here.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
So you and I both can sit and talk about the depth with which we experience the stones, but we had to have had an introduction, and we had to have come to the awareness that they bring a wisdom and an intelligence. So how did stones arrive? I know that you're a craftsman and a jeweler, but how did the stones in terms of consciousness arrive in your awareness?
Well, that's a good story, and it's important because it opened up everything about my work. It began by accident or by synchronicity, as you might say, when I was still a jeweler, primarily a jewelry designer, and I was driving to Cape Cod to sell my wares. And I was bored with my work, frankly, because it was just about business. It wasn't feeding my heart. And I kept thinking, you know, what could I do that's a little different, that's maybe even a lot different than other jewelers are doing? And all of a sudden, while I was driving to my appointment, a vision of a golden comet with a meteorite in the head came into my mind. And I thought, that's it. Nobody's making meteorite jewelry. Halley's Comet's on its way within about a year and a half, because this was 1984. And I'll make a comet pendant to commemorate Halley's Comet. Well, I was so excited by my idea that I drove right past my appointment and forgot about it and ended up 40 miles down the road before I remembered. And at that point, I was very near the house of a friend of mine who had done an astrology pendant with marketing it through a credit card company. So this was still business in my mind, but I thought this man maybe could help me figure out how to sell my comets now that I know I want to make them. And so I went to his house instead, and I told him my vision, and he said, that's a pretty good idea. I think they might like it, but you really should use moldavites instead of a metal meteorite in the head of this thing, because most meteorites are ugly and moldavites not. And I said, what's moldavite? And he went into his books in his library and rummaged around a few minutes and came back with a 1958 lapidary journal that he had, you know, 26 years later. And he showed me this article about moldavite written in the 50s by a man named George Bruce. And I got shivers in my neck when I was reading about it, because this was about not only the fact that moldavite was a meteorite that was also a gemstone, but also that all through many centuries, it had been viewed as a spiritual stone of great power, and was even associated in legend with the stone of the Holy Grail. So I felt this destiny feeling kind of coming down, even though I wasn't very awake yet spiritually, but I tried to call the man on the phone. I got information, and he gave me a number, and I called, and this old man's voice answers the phone. And I said, hello, I'm Robert Simmons. I've just read your article about moldavite. And there's this long pause, and then he says, you've just read my article? Because it's 26 years later. But we talked for 4 hours about moldavite. And the more we talked, the more excited I became. And he sent me my first samples. And from then on, moldavite's work began to do its work. Even though I couldn't feel the energy, my life started to transform. and changed my eating habits, changed a lot of things about the way I was living just spontaneously and for the better. And that's the way Moldavite tends to affect people. It speeds up their evolution. And eventually, it was a meditation with Moldavite after it had synchronistically brought me to meet my wife. I did a meditation at her suggestion with Moldavite that took me on a journey to the great central sun. And on that journey, inner journey, there was a moment where I was looking at a golden sun with a golden sun in my own heart as when I looked down to see it. And at that moment in the meditation, a voice said, "The light you seek without is identical to the light within." And next, back in the room, the Moldavite in my hand buzzed, and that was the first time I'd ever felt any stone energy, went up my arm and to my heart, opened my heart, opened all my other chakras, filled me with light and ecstasy. And, you know, it was so powerful. My wife, who was upstairs getting ready for work, could feel it. She came down and looked at me across the room and said, "Robert, you're full of light." I said, "I know." And when we eventually, after it all calmed down a couple hours later, went to our shop to open up the store, suddenly I could feel every stone in our crystal shop for the first time. And that capacity awakened from my meditation with Moldavite, it's never gone away. And it's what's led me to be able to write books and to know the stone beings and to have so much passion for this work.
So when you started to feel them, you felt it, you started out by actually a physical feeling. When did you start to sense the intelligence, that the fact that these are not just inanimate objects?
That was in the early 2000s, probably about 2005. And what prompted that was my meeting with Robert Sardello, who was a spiritual teacher and psychologist. And he had a mystical orientation, which by that time I had had as well for a long time. And he said, "You know, Robert, these are not just things that you receive what energies they're emanating. These are beings. And if you view them that way, you can learn to work together with them." At least he thought I could. And it's turned out to be a much richer way to understand them. And now in my meditations with stones, quite often the being of the stone will come forward and there'll be kind of a meeting. And then the being of the stone reveals to me the properties of the stone and what we can work with, how we can work with the stone to help ourselves, but also to work cooperatively and co-creatively with that stone being.
You know, I was, when I started training in Peruvian shamanism, we had the Peruvian shamans carried a mesa cloth in which are these literally chunks of granite, but they were from their sacred mountains and they had a lot of meaning to them, even though Westerners, you know, are bringing with their new mesas something pretty, turquoise, you know, a jasper with pictographs or that, but these solid objects from the mountain, the sacred mountain. And I started to work with stones in terms of tumbling them and then buying drilled stones, jaspers, and agates to make jewelry. And then I started feeling, and for me, I don't actually see anything. I get either a word across my vision, inner vision, or a knowing, and that's usually a knowing that I sort of feel like they say, you know, the angel on your shoulder. I get a knowing and I get all of a sudden a message or a something. And so I would tell people when I do these healings, these stones tell me which ones need to come forward. And I hadn't ever thought about the fact that not everybody has the stones talk to them or feels it that way. And Yet when I read your books and I see what you're bringing forward is the ability of all of us to tap into these are ambassadors of the earth and of the galaxy, the tektites and the meteorites. And they come with a lot of information, but it's an information that we have to be ready to drop more into an inner world to sense, because there's nothing in the written, there's nothing out there. You can't go get a book. You can't go to class. It's very much an inner journey. Do you agree?
Yeah, you said enough things to provoke 3 more hours of talking about it. but what you say about that it's an inner journey, that's definitely true. I like to think of the stone beings, as I call them, as self-organized centers of consciousness, like a self, you know, and we also are self-organized centers of consciousness as individuals. And really the only difference, I mean, not the only difference, but spiritually the basic difference between a human being and a stone being, you could say, is that we have a flesh body and they have a mineral body. What's meeting when we meditate with the stone or feel its energy are the consciousness bodies or the soul bodies of both ourselves and the stone being. And even the energies that we feel, whether it's a tingle from a stone or warmth, as moldavite often causes people to feel, or an opening of the chakras, you know, that's all happening on what's called the subtle energy level. In the Alchemy of Stones, I talk about the subtle body as, or the soul body, as the midway aspect of ourselves, where we can go into a world that is midway between pure spirit and physical matter. And in that world, we can meet the stone beings. And that's where they come from, pure spirit as beings, but it's this area of the overlap where we can meet and interact and have meaningful information come to us and back and go to them back and forth. And one thing I want to say too, it's very important to me. The alchemists wanted to work on the perfection of the world and the perfection of themselves. That was their goal. And they named that goal the Philosopher's Stone, but it had all that meaning of the perfection of the self and the world and of all matter. So they believed that they could only do this by working co-creatively with the soul of the world, as you said a minute ago, which is they called Sophia, which means wisdom. The stone beings, in my view, are like angels of the soul of the world. They are messengers, and their energies are their messages. And for us to receive the message and offer back something to them, our love is what I think most often it should be. That nourishes the stone beings. It makes them more vivid and alive, because just as we can benefit from their energy, they can benefit from basically our energy, which comes in the form of our love, just as their energy comes to us. And the soul of the world is also nourished by that in my picture, because I do follow what the old alchemist did and believed.
Wonderful. So I want to take a short break here, and then I want to come back and I want to talk more about this and talk about the books you've written and how it brought you to the alchemy, and maybe share a little bit about some stones that you really resonate with or the journey you've taken. And so we'll take a short break here.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about Care Hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your Care Hero tip of the day. During all Care Hero journeys, the need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge Care Heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's Care Hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
Hi, I'm Carrie Nail from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, people who prefer to take in information through their five senses tend to see things in practical details. And people who prefer to take in information intuitively see patterns in the big picture. And so a great strategy for those who prefer sensing is to group detailed thoughts and written communication into three headlines so as not to overwhelm the intuitive person with too many details. And people who prefer intuition should be direct, don't assume, and take time to group random big ideas into three groups so as not to overwhelm the sensing person with vague possibilities. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, carrienail.com. That's K-E-R-I-N-A-I-L.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin. We're back. I'm with Robert Simmons coming in. Thank goodness for Zoom, coming in from New Zealand. And on break, he and I were talking about how the stones, just plain old stones, not the ones that go into jewelry, have had power in the shamanic cultures. And we were talking specifically about South America. And one of the experiences, for those of you who remember my episode with Wake Wheeler, I told about when I was training and we had our medicine bundle, our mesa, and we had three stones we were supposed to start training with. And the shamans from Peru arrive with their mesas and they've got clumps of boulder, basically, which I had no clue of the power of these things. And they happen to be pieces of Pachitusan, Asangate, Salkantay, all the sacred mountains with whom the shamans themselves resonated or drew power. And so that brought us to the discussion of how you sense the power in these stones and how you sense that more than just a mineral configuration, there's actually more to be had. So Robert, talk to us some about entering the subtle realms where we can meet the real stuff, the real juice of the stones.
Well, I found in my own work that meditation has been important for me becoming sensitive to be able to perceive subtle energies of stones. And this realm of subtle energies is really big. I talked about it before in regards to the beings of pure spirit coming in to meet us. It's like having a meeting or an appointment plan with someone. You need to show up where you're going to meet, which means basically being able to turn inward and, you know, quiet the mind and pay attention to internal, all kinds of internal things, sensations, things you might see, things you might hear, like you said, that the stones will talk to you at times. It's just that inward turning attention that's kind of the first step. And it's no accident, I think, that I had to meditate with Moldavite before it could do anything for me and wake up my energies and open my chakras. But the thing is, once you get in the door, it's very much easier to go back. So to your listeners, to the viewers, I would recommend, you know, any stone that you like, or better yet, any stone that calls to you and that seems to like you, you know, sit down and meditate with that stone. The way I do it to begin is I hold the stone over my heart and I close my eyes and I envision in the in-breath the stone coming into my heart. I purposely attempt to imagine it as an image in my heart. And in the out-breath, I offer myself to the stone being in friendship with some level of love. And just do that with breath after breath after breath. And it creates a resonance between ourselves and the stone being. And, you know, my wife always said, imagination is the doorway to spiritual experience. And that's a very good bumper sticker for this kind of work, because you start with your imagination, just as if you were going to go on a shamanic journey, an inner journey, or even a past life regression. All the things we do spiritually have to do with imagination at the beginning. And then when you get there and you then feel something or see something, that's when you entered the doorway and are having a spiritual experience. So really it's simple. The stone beings, if you go to a crystal shop, the stone beings will call to you. You know, if you just walk around the store and see what's attracting you. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, I thought I was going to buy one of these, but this stone talked to me, or this stone called to me and said I needed to buy it. Well, I say it's not a joke. You know, this is a spiritual connection that's been made. And if you take that little string and just keep following it, keep pulling on it, it'll take you into some great places.
So I just want to interject here, Jamie, we'll skip this next break and keep going till about 20 of. So one of the things I want to say to the listeners, everybody resonates with something different. I remember when I was first learning, opening to spirituality and learning some shamanism, I went on a trip to the Yucatan. And there was a gentleman there from Europe, and he was an acupuncturist, and he had crystals that he carried with him, and everybody was in awe of those crystals. And it was interesting, probably the only one of two men on the trip, and all the women were all gathered around him, and he was all that, you know. And I had a piece of Guatemalan jade that was a carving that after a hurricane, a young man had found. The hurricane had knocked the tree over and it uprooted. And this thing was pre-Columbian. And it was a piece of green Guatemalan jade. So it's not the fancy jewelry jade. It's probably jadeite, but it still had, you know, it was more of a streaky green and gray. But that stone had power to me. And he was showing everybody the crystals. And I showed him the piece of jade and he sneered at it. I mean, he just thought that that wasn't a high, you know, that was not an evolved stone. But and Robert, you and I have talked about this previously in emails and on Zoom call. For me, give me a piece of amber, give me a piece of petrified wood, give me tourmaline, give me obsidian. I like the solidness those stones bring to me. And I am less resonating. And of course, in my spirituality, I'm very much earth-centered. Whereas I have many of my spiritual friends who are very galactic and celestial, and they would be drawn to the moldavites and the higher, you know, quartzes and things like that. But what I'm saying is there's a spectrum. You don't have to be spectacular at entering the subtle realms through, it doesn't have to be a piece of quartz, doesn't have to be a crystal. It doesn't have to be, you know, one of the azestalites. You can go there with tourmaline. You can go there with amber. So I just wanted to reassure people, because I think there is a snobbery that can come about, where the truth is these are realms of beings that cross the spectrum of the mineral world and of the energies from whence they come. And maybe I'm going off a little, but I think that snobbery very much affected me way back when. But
well, I mean, that's a real thing that exists in the sort of culture of people that are into stonework and into stones. And what I would say is if you only like high vibration stones, that's similar to somebody that only wants to hear the high notes on the piano. You know, all the notes on the piano can be used to make wonderful music. And the so-called denser stones are very benevolent. You know, that's why in my book, all my books, I put the whole range of minerals, you know, like there's over 375 of them in the Alchemy of Stones. And it's everything from the densest hematite to the highest vibration phenakite and zestulite. But I'll say another thing too about this. The alchemists believed that the philosopher's stone, or also the prima materia, which they sought to begin their work, it means the first matter, that was something that foolish people would sneer at, and only the wise would recognize for its real value. So that's the very beginning of doing alchemy. They said, you know, people are going to overlook the value of the matter that is most precious. So, you know, I agree with you in that sense, too, from that story.
Mm-hmm. So take us now on the next sort of understanding, that beyond opening our spiritual awareness and beyond opening to stones which bring us a wisdom of the earth and the stars, take us where your book, Alchemy of Stones, wants to lead us, and how the joining up with these beings, when we can do so and we can begin to co-create, we can begin to change our collective evolution. And this is really a spiritual calling and an awakening. So beyond the beauty of the opening of spirit, take us deeper, take us where the alchemy wants to pull us.
Thank you. You know, I think we all know, we all sense that our world is imperfect, and that even nowadays it's in crisis. And has been for some years. Now, you know, I'll say just for, as we drive by crisis here, that crisis is maybe necessary for transformation, because the buildup of intensity of the polarities is what Jung believed was necessary for a big transformation in the psyche to happen. And he also thought it was true collectively. So we're on that. That's the setting of the stage that we're on these days. The Alchemy of Stones, and the reason why I take this road and use this lens to view it, is because they always saw the imperfections in the world and sought to help nature, help the soul of the world to become perfect. They felt that human beings, that was the sort of highest purpose of a human being, was to attempt to benefit the evolution of the soul of the world. And of course, they also saw that in doing this, they would themselves benefit by being a part of the world, so that it's basically like when the world awakens, all of humanity awakens too. And I feel that in my bones, that that is what is possible, and that that's what we're on the edge of these days. So that's why, that's really why I wrote this book, was to attempt to show the tradition of alchemy as having said that for thousands of years going back, and show the means that they found. And the means they found was primarily the same thing I said, working from the heart, working co-creatively, which just means we have three human powers. That's the part I wanted to mention that. In my view, we have three spiritual powers as human beings. We have our attention, we have our intention, and we have our imagination. And when we when we are able to bring all those things together in ourselves, that's when our own power really opens up. And when I call it power, I mean it's a capacity to then feel and interact with whatever we want. It doesn't have to be stones. It can be plants or animals or the earth itself or the ocean. But I like working with the stone beings. They've talked to me and led me on a great journey. And they're right there whenever you want one, you know. So if you want to do healing work on yourself, as you do it, remember to imagine that the earth is healing as you are and the stone is helping with both. So that's the fundamental thing. But there are, in alchemy, I could say, there are processes called conjunctions where the polarities are so intense, they move you up to a higher level and then they get resolved from a higher level. That's talking about consciousness, you know, and basically the stone beings and we and the earth and everything around us are fundamentally made out of consciousness. And the bodies we have are the sort of expression of the consciousness. So when we meditate with stones, we dive in to the deeper part of both ourselves and them. And that's where the action is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, did I answer your question, Sharon?
No, that's wonderful. I love that. I love the hopefulness, because everything is so dire and stressful right now. Just making it past all of the polarity and having a challenge for your compassion and your tolerance. And here is the potential, one of the potentials, that you can join up in this attention, intention, and imagination with beings that are powerful, literally components of the earth and of the stars and of the galaxies and us, our mineral components. So if you want to look at it scientifically, but that we have hope. And when we do this, we can begin to dream our future.
Yes.
We can begin to take it a level up. And out of that mix comes something greater than the sum of the two parts. Out of
that's
that polarity,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, this co-creation with the stone, with other beings, let's say the stone beings in this case, and with the soul of the world, then it's an alliance and of shared intention. And these beings have a great deal of consciousness. They're not in and the stones even have material bodies to anchor their consciousness. But the alchemist always said that the center of the human being, where the soul of the world is, where the spark of the divine Sophia is the heart. And people have said for many centuries, I know it in my heart. That's where wisdom is. What your heart knows is wisdom. What your mind thinks can be anything. And it's a useful tool, your mind, but only really in balance when it serves the heart. So the heart is where our impulses for the good of the whole come from. That's why I always do this work with stones through the heart, and why I recommend it, because it's a sure guide. It's like a compass. And the more you practice, the stronger your heart consciousness becomes, and the more conscious the heart becomes. And it can actually become where we feel ourselves instead of where we usually think we are up in our heads. So the stones help with that, because they tend to always be ready to meet us when we go to the subtle realm through the heart.
You know, I was just reflecting as you were talking about head and heart, the Peruvian Laika, the people of light, the shamans, have the three key elements, the Yachai, Munai, and Yankai. So the best action comes when head, heart, and the way you walk in the world are as one. So I love the reminder that we have to connect the heart and the head to really get the most bang for our buck.
You know, even if we don't meditate with stones, if we meditate and center in the heart, there's a great deal of peace and comfort for us there. And, you know, it adds more when we then do some actions from there, like meditations that I do with stones and to work with something else like stones. But just in my own regular meditation, the stress in my life has evaporated the more I spend time with my attention in my heart. And so I always start my stone meditations that way. And I want to recommend it to people, whether they love stones or not.
You know, I was reading, researching, I'm writing a book, Maximum Medicine, about shamanic ways to take hold of your own health mixed with traditional Western medicine. But anyway, one of the sources I was reading was a study from the 70s in Germany when they were measuring the photon emission of the hearts, of people's hearts. That's a major, our toroidal field goes through our heart. I think everybody knows about that. But when you put attention and intention to the heart, 10,000-fold increase in the photons that were emitted.
Beautiful.
And if everybody needs science, if we need proof rather than just our having experienced it, if you want to study, well, they actually did one back in Germany, I think in 1978. But anyway, Robert, I know that at the end of the hour, we're going to do a meditation with some of the keystones. During that meditation, will we talk about the stones themselves, or should we spend these next moments before our next break talking about how perhaps it would be nice to talk about, you've talked about moldavite, talk about phenacite, am I saying that correctly? Zestalite and phenakito, it's with a K, okay, and rosophia. Tell us stories about them, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll meditate with these pillars of our alchemy.
Great, thank you. Yes, those four stones that you named are what I call the cornerstones, the four cornerstones of the alchemy of stones. They're the stones that I've worked with the most myself, and they seem to have a great synergy with one another, which is why I was wanting to do this meditation with these stones today. So I have them right here, and I'm just going to speak about each one for a second. This is a piece of moldavite. That's the one I spoke about before. It's of extraterrestrial origin in the sense that it is formed from a meteor crash 15 million years ago. Its energy is the speeding up of a path of transformation and evolution in everybody. And it's one of the most powerful stones, just in terms of the feedback I get from people. And there are some people who don't like it because it's too disturbing for them to feel that much energy and pushing them to kind of evolve, or maybe it's other things, but it has that effect on many people, that evolutionary effect. Now, the next stone I found, meaning found out about or discovered, that was important to me was this one, which is a piece of phenakite. And phenakite is visionary. It opens the third eye. It's the most powerful third eye stone that I know. And it was something that somebody suggested to me and came up and handed to me at one of my shows. And I'd never felt it before. And I'm just about left the room in my light body the first time I held it. It's very high vibration. And it really is about interdimensional travel, awakening this inner vision of the third eye and opening the crown and even the etheric chakras above the head, very high vibration. The next stone I'm going to mention is a zestulite. And this is the very first piece I ever had that I got like 20-something years ago when I didn't even know it existed, and it arrived in the mail from a stranger. Too long a story to tell, but a zestulite's energy basically is connected to an angelic group soul being called Azez. And Azez, they say, means the nameless light of the great central sun. And so they say that they've activated this stone to bring through the energy of the great central sun for the betterment of humanity and for the awakening of the earth. So when you work with the zestulite, it's often experienced as light coming in from above and going right through you down into the earth. So it's a part of the story of this worldwide awakening of people and the planet. And the fourth stone is Rosophia. Now, you talked about ordinary looking stones. Rosophia is one of the more ordinary looking ones, although I think it's beautiful. It's closely related to granite, which you mentioned earlier. And I found this stone in a synchronistic way as well. I was going to give a talk at a Sophia conference, a conference dedicated to Sophia, soul of the world. And when I walked into my sleeping room, there was a piece of it on the mantle, and I'd never seen it before. So of course I ran right up to it and stuck it on my heart. And within a minute, beautiful, loving, curving energies were circulating all around my heart. And because it was the Sophia conference and I'd never seen this stone before, I thought, well, this must be Sophia's stone. So it is much more grounding, much more feminine, and very loving compared to the others. It's a natural companion with a zestulite in that when you use them together, a zestulite is the light coming down, and the Rosophia is the love coming up to meet the light. And that happens in your heart when you work out with them at the same time. And that's alchemy all by itself. So if you think of the four pillars or the four cornerstones of the alchemy of stones, the way I would describe it is Rosophia is the love of the earth coming up to be evolved, to awaken and transform. It meets the zestulite, the light of the divine coming down. And on the sides, there's the moldavite urging on the energy of awakening and transformation, and the phenakite bringing in spiritual vision and illumination. So that's why I put them together on the cover of my book.
I love that. So we're going to take a break right now, and everybody get ready to join these stone beings in meditation when we come back. Robert's going to lead us in really connecting with these beautiful four pillars. We'll be back in a minute.
Excuse me, did you say Sanskrit? Yes, absolutely. Sanskrit is the language of the universe. The word Sanskrita means pure and perfectly formed. When we're still, open and receptive, we may hear a still small voice within. We feel a simple resonance with this universal language, and we just know that the voice is true. That inner voice speaks to us in a language that is always pure and perfectly formed. It's Sanskrita that speaks to us out of the silence. Sanskrit is also the name of a language that is found in dictionaries and great works of profound wisdom. It's the closest reflection of that perfect universal language. Study of this powerful language can lead us to an understanding of that perfect inner voice. Join me, Sara Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this true inner voice of the soul together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
We're back, and I'm going to talk quickly so Robert can take it into our meditation with these four cornerstones of alchemy.
So I'm going to turn the camera over here so the viewers can see them. These are the four stones I just mentioned: rosophia, zestulite, phenacite, and moldavite. And they're in a cup. It's filled with the zestulite and has moldavites on the side just for extra power. So the thing to do, I want you all to look at the screen, get the image, and center your attention in your heart. And then as you breathe, imagine that image coming into your heart with all the four stone beings. As you inhale, bring all that in. As you exhale, offer your friendship and willingness to co-create to the four stone beings. Just continue that with your breathing until you feel and you can clearly see or sense the image of the stones and their presence in your heart. And at that point, you can let things go where they will. If you'd like to do something like ask the four beings, what is your nature and how can we work together or something like that, feel free to do that. Otherwise, you can just be in your heart with them and see what unfolds. Let's take a deep breath and begin.
And 2 minutes left, Robert. We can bring everyone back now.
Okay. So when you're ready, open your eyes, they're closed, and come back from your meditation. You can always go back to this place.
And there'll be the video will be on the archive on Transformation Talk Radio, and Robert will send you the link also. And you can then just maybe, Jamie, let's get us to take that piece out as a separate piece. But anyway, I got warm all over. The Moldavite, oh my gosh, I got like, oof. Anyway.
And that's from halfway around the world.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yep. In that coming across the energetic grid. We have to close up, Robert, which makes me disappointed on some level because this is such fun. I love having talked with you in person, as I told you. Your book, original, The Book of Stones, really, really opened my mind and my heart. So it was so wonderful to have you with us. Everybody, Robert Simmons, his third book, right? Alchemy of Stones.
My fifth.
Really? I didn't know the other two. Well, Book of Stones, The Stones of the New Consciousness, and now The Alchemy of Stones. Fabulous. And of course, descriptions of these beautiful stone beings that we can connect with. And if you don't have the stone itself, use the picture. Robert, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you a million.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, Sharon. Your audiences are just the people that I want to connect with and I want to encourage because there's so much potential here. We've just scratched the surface, but I hope that's enough to tickle their curiosity to come for more.
Well, maybe in the spring or early summer, come back and let's do a dedicated connection. We'll pick four or five of these lovelies and, you know, take them through the spectrum of the earthbound, denser to the higher vibrate. Anyway, my mind is spinning. I'm Doc Martin. This is Maximum Medicine Radio. I've been here with Robert Simmons from New Zealand, author of Alchemy of Stones. You should get it. Connect with the stone beings who Robert and I love very much, and I know you will too. Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.